Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and we have quite a show for you guys tonight. I know that it is third Thursday. I just wanted to let the listeners know that Christina came down with the flu. She contacted me on Tuesday of this week, and because she's doing some traveling to the Rhode Island area, I think she's going to be there Sunday. I'm sure she's traveling. I think she's traveling on Friday. Did not want to travel. Did not want to come on the show. She canceled all her appointments this week so that she could rest up and get her health back. So we wish and, of course, send Christina and Goddess Sophia all our love and all healing energy and all peace. And if everything works out, actually, me and Christina will be getting together. I will be joining her at the Rhode Island event so that me and Christina can hug in real life and I can, you know, kind of get a feel of Goddess Sophia face to face. So, okay, so that is that. That's one thing. I also want to give a shout out to, I met three amazing kids today while I was hiking back from the Celtic Chambers, and two of them were wearing bird's wings, which I found absolutely amazing that I was coming back from the chamber. I had all sorts of experiences, and a mother and three teenagers were hiking in the woods in snow that came up to their knees, and two of them were wearing wings. I thought they were angels, and they said, no, these aren't angel wings, these are bird wings. And they were doing a documentary, and they asked me to briefly be in the documentary, and when I shared with them my name being Golden Hawk, I can't even tell you the enthusiasm and excitement that came from them, because one of the girls felt very silly being in the bird's wings, and I thought it was fabulous, and then when she heard my name, it seemed like all her inhibitions and all her reservations about being a bird seemed to dissolve. So I was really excited that synchronistically they were put in my path today and I was put in theirs. And, I wish them well on their documentary about birds. So speaking of kids, tonight's show is an amazing, amazing family. I met this family actually the first time on Daniel Jacobs' radio show when I heard them talking about life, just everyday living. I don't even know your guys' last name, and it doesn't even matter because this family is truly one of the most unique families of living the truth of freedom and a spirituality that a lot of people pontificate their philosophies, especially when it comes to their children. But this gentleman that I'm going to introduce right now, he does not pontificate. He is living, breathing example. He is what Crimson Circle would call a standard, in my opinion. So let me welcome Art to the show. Welcome to the show, Art.
Thank you very much, Goldie. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome very much.
Yeah. What you were saying just a minute ago about the children, it's beautiful because I just love children too.
Yeah.
They're so
And anytime they cross your path, don't they just make you smile whether they're yours or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
This happens like
so that. Art. And, boy, what's in a name? Art. The fact that your name is Art is so beautiful. You are truly an artist if I've ever met one. And I think it was Crimson Circle did a channeling, the artist, not the artist's way.
Okay.
I forget what it, large strokes. Remember that? The artist,
yeah.
I don't remember the name of the channeling, but I remember it was about us being creators. So tell us just a little bit about you, and then don't worry, I will make it a conversation. It won't be that you'll have to, you're not out here alone, because I know you don't do a lot of radio.
Right.
But tell us a little about who you are and what's going on.
Okay, the first thing I'd like to say is that I was told back in the 60s that I would have children at this time in life.
And okay.
Back then, you have to understand that it was kind of like what you would call the end times. But I was
really
spiritually, not by another person within.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And it was very, very beautiful. And I believed it. I understood it. I have been spiritually guided most all of my life, but not with the total understanding that I have at this point. To just give a little brief thing, when I was raised in the Catholic religion, went to Catholic school. I was an altar boy, and there came a point in time where they wanted me to learn, what was that language they do? I can't think of it.
Speaking of tongues?
No, at the Mass.
Raised Jewish, so my language was Hebrew that they forced down my throat. What was the language they forced down yours?
That's right, it was Latin.
Latin, there you go.
and they wanted me to learn Latin to be able to continue serving as an altar boy.
Okay.
And I remember this as clear as day. I was sitting at home in my living room just playing a little church bit, and I heard this: you do not have to learn another language to serve God.
Wow.
And that was so profound, and I didn't do it. But I was still allowed to be an altar boy. I did the other, you know, all the other ceremonies, and still was allowed to do it. I couldn't serve Mass, you know.
Okay,
I could do all the other things.
Okay.
But getting back to the children, like I say, I was told that I would have children at this time, and it is absolutely so beautiful because they are awake. They were awake. There's things that's like my father passed somewhere in the neighborhood of time when Joshua was born, and Josh was born at home. We had a midwife. But after he was a couple years old, he was able to communicate with my father often. And I would not say, no, this is not so, or, you know, all the other things that other parents would say. I believed it. I understood.
Exactly.
There were things that he was telling me there was no way in the world he could know these.
Things about your father?
Pardon?
Things about your father or things other things?
Things about my father. And it's like,
okay.
Also, my mother, they got a divorce probably when I was about 18, but they were separated when he left when I was 11, which was a blessing also.
Right.
Because if you can understand back in those times that, and being in the Catholic religion, you know, splitting up like that would, like a major sin, you know.
Right.
But he was strong enough, and I appreciate the fact that he did what he did. That was such a blessing, you know.
Yeah. Meaning your father leaving the house was the blessing.
He was strong enough to do that, to follow his heart.
Right.
And a little something about that. His father, he lived up in Connecticut, in New Canaan. They came, him and his wife came from Lithuania. They didn't come together. They met one another there.
Oh,
and my father was the seventh son, and his father was the seventh son. And his father told him, he said, your life will be blessed, because it's some sort of a tradition understanding thing, seventh son of the seventh son.
Oh, wow.
And I was born on my father's birthday.
Nice.
That's quite amazing.
That is quite amazing.
But anyway, my mother remarried, and Bob, he passed away somewhere in the 80s. And there came a time there where Joshua was, when he was talking with my father, he says, where's Grandfather Bob? And he says, he's up in New York. Well, Bob was born and raised in Yonkers, New York.
Wow. So you're saying that... So he knew after he passed where he was born and raised, that's where Josh was seeing him, even though he, at that point, was no longer physical.
Right. He asked my father where Grandfather Bob was located, and he said he's up in, and there's no way in the world Joshua could have known this.
Exactly.
And I keep telling
Well, right.
I keep
there's no way in this world.
This is the truth.
Right.
You are, you know, communicating with him. And it was just so beautiful. But I've lived this all along, you know. But I knew they were coming, and I knew they came here to help. And Joshua told me when he was 8 years old that he came here. We were reading the Web of Love. It was put out by the
Jimmy.
No.
Well, James Twyman, right?
No, this was I'll think of it in a couple of minutes.
Okay, no worries. But it was basically one of those internet things, right?
Pardon?
It was one of those internet grouping, you know, where people were doing meditations and you were following something every day, right?
It was from the group. Steve Rother.
Oh, Steve Rother in the group?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And while I was reading it, I'm getting this inside information, print two copies of this. So I did. I listened inside. I've been doing that most of my life.
Right.
But I'm going to say all of my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on, Art. Yes. Fess up. You came out just as awake and aware as your children are.
Yes. But I printed it out. And what we did a little 10-minute meditation that was put out by the Warriors of Peace. It was only designed for teenagers, and it was only supposed to be 10 minutes. And the only thing that they were asked to do was to connect with the children up in Washington, D.C., the children over in China, the children in Japan, the children around the world. And it was said in there that they are not warriors, they're not military people, they're just children wanting to be children.
Okay.
And when we did this, it took, like I say, it took a lot longer than 10 minutes because John was just 5 years old and he was bouncing around on the sofa. But when he connected, what he was seeing, what he was telling me, he first told me that he saw them and they were like beams of light. And then he started seeing them more physical. And then after that, he told me that he saw a child standing there with his hand out in front of him. And the next thing happened, an apple appeared in it. And I reinforced it, Joshua, this is where we're heading. In the higher realms, you just manifest what you want. You know, it's always open. But after we did this particular meditation, he wanted to do some more. So we would sit out on the porch after that, and we started reading that Web of Love, and it was like 3-4 pages long, and he'd do like 2 or 3 paragraphs at a time, but he understood it. It was talking
right
about the new earth, those connections. It's just very, very powerful. But like,
so the Web of Love was a meditation, not a book.
No, the Web of Love was just, it was a channeled message.
Okay. I just wanted the listeners to know that. So.
Yeah, it's probably about 4 or 5 pages long, I think. That we didn't do it all at once.
Right.
But he told me that day, or one of the 2 days that we were reading that, that he came here to help 1 million children.
Joshua said this, or John said this?
Joshua, at 8 years old.
Okay.
During this conversation, this is what he told me. And it's like, I didn't question, well, how are you going to do 8 million? You know, I didn't question that.
Of course.
At this moment, getting ready to talk on your show all around the globe, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said,
it's archived anyways.
I
well, and I'll be honest, too. The energy, even if they don't physically listen to the show,
yeah,
energetically, we are, you know, we're fire in the grid, so to speak. You know, we're just speaking into the web, as Daniel eloquently puts it, the inner web, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Where hearts connect.
And it's like December, a year ago, they started becoming so telepathic that it's just amazing, very amazing.
All three of you, though, not just them, right? You're also telepathic with them, correct?
It started with John, the youngest.
Okay.
And I was telling him, this is the way we communicate in the higher realms. And it went from there. It just got more intense and intense daily. I mean, more than just daily. It was many times a day. Whatever I'd be thinking, he'd be thinking, you know, and Joshua tuned right in. And they started even playing with it. You know, what song am I thinking about? Boom, he'd know it.
It's really?
Absolutely amazing. They're very much into music.
Yeah.
And they want to create a band.
Well, music is, what I'm learning from the work I'm doing with Almeen is music is the non-cognitive language of the higher, and I don't want to call them higher realms, expanded realms.
Right. Okay. Can I read a little something to you?
Of course.
Okay. Crimson Circle.
Of course you can read. And just so the listeners know, there's like, I have five major teachers. When me and Art first met, me and him share an almost exact...
Everyone.
We really are very much, we have resonance in who and what we are. So, I mean, there was an instant connection. So, from Crimson Circle, who we all adore, please read.
This was from Adamus in January last month.
Okay.
And he says in there, music, no matter how good or how bad, actually has a beautiful way of being able to integrate into a very feeling energy that can take someone beyond the mind. And then it says under there, there's more to it, but it says music flows as you are discovering. Music is such a beautiful way to carry consciousness and feelings. And it says art. It has once been said that the world will be saved by art.
Exactly.
Would like to include music in that. This is Adamus speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually probably more appropriate today than it ever has been. The world would be saved by art and music and creativity because these are the things that allow the real energies and consciousness to come forth. These are what allows expansion into the new energy. So, and what I pointed that out for the reason of the fact of how Joshua and John they're wanting to create a band. Joshua's writing lyrics.
Right.
You know?
Well, and songs. He told me he wrote a song today.
Yeah. And
you know, they both written songs.
But that's why I printed this out and I put this part in a different color so they could definitely read it. And this is like a pat on the back. You're doing the right thing. You know?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I do this all the time. I totally love their feelings and let them know, encourage where they're coming from in all ways.
Well, I would love to, if I can, it is really important from my perspective. I want people to know how it is to truly allow children to be, you know, you are the steward of these two young boys.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen it so clearly, and I'm not saying that you don't take care of them, but you literally let them make the decisions for them without any, you know, like I work with parents all the time in my nanny gigs where parents are, you know, really, I can clearly see it's the desire or the dream of the parent being forced on the child.
Yes, yeah.
You know, whether, because I say, like I work for an Indian family and I love this family very much, but in the culture, academics is a major important part in the Eastern Indian culture.
Right.
And both of these children are, you know, I mean, she's in kindergarten and they're already going, you know, she needs to read. And I was like, wait a minute, she needs to read in kindergarten. They don't teach reading and writing till first grade.
Yeah, I know.
And they're like, no, but she's got to read. And I'm like going, wow, like, she's got to be a kid, in my opinion. You know, like, she'll get there with, you know, but and it's not, she's, you know, it's just a lot of, you see a lot of pressure from culture and upbringing and now, but with you, you
no,
and your beautiful family of incredible conscious beings,
right.
You, I've never met a person that genuinely gives, I mean, can you share in some of the philosophies that have you've raised your children on?
Most of it,
and anything that you're comfortable with and anything you're not comfortable with, don't, you know what I mean? It's your call.
I'm comfortable with all of it because the fact is I know that they are part of God also, and they know it.
Right.
They
right.
know that they're more than their physical body. You know, that we are, all of us.
Yeah.
Their connection with nature is profound. It's just beautiful being with them, you know.
Well, it is, because you know what's striking me right now is one of the things I want to say is you nurture their being instead of focusing on their minds.
Right. And it's like,
I mean, and it's so huge to do that. That, you know, it seems like that's subtle, but that's not subtle. That's huge.
Right. I dropped out back in 1972.
Okay, share a little bit about that, because that'll help the listeners understand.
Okay. I was a production supervisor for General Motors.
Okay.
I started out on the assembly line, and they chose me to do this job. And what was very interesting, there were others there that were there a lot longer than I was, but they chose me. And at that particular time, they assumed that they needed, or they needed college graduates.
Okay.
I had an eighth grade education because in the school system, again, there was another point there about when I was in the fourth grade that this little thing came to me. I had to go into the bathroom, and I was in Catholic school at the time, and they were doing a lot of stuff there that day, you know, wanting you to do this, that, and the other. And I'm standing in there alone, and I'm getting this message: this is not what you need to learn to be on the planet.
Really?
Yes.
In fourth grade, you got that?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow. Okay.
It's like in the school system, I never voted for class president. I have never voted in my life.
Right.
I don't choose one over the other.
Right.
And like I say, I couldn't even do that in school. And if they put out a test that I didn't feel like doing, I would hand in a blank sheet. I wouldn't even put my name on the top of the paper.
Wow.
And that's the blessing that was about my father leaving, that there was no one, not that he would, but there was no...
Oh, I see. Right. There was no disciplinary to be... Right.
My mother
wow.
had to work,
okay.
you know, to create an income.
Right.
And, I never in my life did a book report.
You're so lucky. You're
reading.
So lucky, Art. Right, okay. I mean, there was a few book reports I liked. The ones I did on, I picked the animals when I got to pick the, but
right.
there were book reports that, you know, like they made you read books that I really didn't care about.
Right.
And not only did I have to read a book I didn't care about, I had to write and, you know, really get into it. And it's like, I don't even care about this.
Right. Well, I didn't
yeah.
do it. I didn't
okay.
do it. And speaking of books, though, the books that I've read are all been in the spiritual aspect.
Right.
And that started out in the mid-70s or early 70s.
Okay.
But my stepfather had on the shelf there four books in a little case was Judaism, Catholicism, Hinduism, and Buddhism.
Okay.
I wanted to know, what is the difference between all these religions? Well, I never got to read his books because that's when I actually left General Motors. I left that state also, which was Maryland,
and okay.
came to Florida because I never liked really being cold.
Okay.
But when I got down here, the different things that happened, it's like one of the first books that I read was called Be Here Now.
Oh, Ram Dass.
By Ram Dass.
Yeah.
And an interesting aspect there was that he came to the University of Florida, and I lived up in Jackson. No, I lived over here in that time, over in Live Oak area. But he was doing a little two-hour thing on campus in a little cathedral thing there.
Okay.
But a little chapel type thing. It was kind of large, but it was on the campus.
Okay.
I went there with my other son, who was living with me at the time, Michael. And Goldie, this was so profound. It was a two-hour thing. It lasted till midnight.
Oh, wow.
Started at 6 and lasted till midnight. Because the
wow.
people there at that time were in the awakening stage. And he just couldn't stop. You know, they'd ask questions. It was Michael even fell asleep, you know.
Right.
Pretty young at the time. But like I say, it was so profound listening to that. And then I went to a rock concert up in North Carolina with some friends. And it was like a weekend thing up the racetrack. And when the songs and stuff were over and we were communicating with other people there, and we were sitting in this guy's camper, and we were talking, he said, haven't you ever read Be Here Now? Because I don't remember at this time what we were talking about then, but I no.
Right, right.
Because he was understanding where I was coming from, but I was maybe looking for answers or something.
Right.
I went and got it. When I read that, I bought, you know, like 10 or 12 copies of that and gave them to all my friends.
Exactly.
And my brother.
It's an awakening book, definitely. Yeah.
So profound.
Yeah.
But, you know, from that time that I left General Motors, I was basically free. I was started reading Mother Earth News. I was understanding different ways of being that they don't teach you in school, you know.
Or anywhere for that matter. They don't teach
yeah.
you that in religious
right.
culture either. At least they don't, let me speak for a minute. They don't in Judaism.
Right.
Because they clearly do in Native American. They clearly do. I don't know if they do it in the Eastern religions, but it does seem to be much more culturally part of Eastern religion. Things like meditation, expansion, awareness of life after death, all that. None of that is taught to us in your Western religions.
Yeah. Well, like when I was saying about my stepfather having those books there, I didn't get to read those, but then one time when I was at the airport, this big, thick Bhagavad Gita was handed to me for free.
Really?
Boom, right in my hands. When I read that, it's just like Jesus talking, you know, reading
wow.
about Krishna and what have you, you know?
Right.
And the things
right.
that they were saying.
Well, because it's all the same message.
Right.
Exactly. It might as well be one being because.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, you know, and that, like I said, they just came to me. It wasn't like I went searching for them. But then I started going into spiritual bookstores and finding all this stuff.
Right.
Another one that I read early on was The Crystal Stair.
Oh, I've read that. Who is that? Stubbs? Is that Stubbs? No, that. Who was it? Eric Klein?
Eric Klein, I believe, yeah.
I think it was Eric Klein. I read The Crystal Stair, too. Because it's funny. I think when we all go through the awakening, it's almost like there's just authors anyways. It might not be the same books, but many of the authors, we all, because it's all the resonance of the awakening.
Yes. In other words, it let me understand because I was very guided. There was so much, you know, I was so blessed, even like in the military. When I joined because at that time they were drafting. If you join,
right.
you get a little better chance of going where you want, you know.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I went with a couple of my friends and neighbors, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all went in together, and we wound up.
So wait a minute, what war did you go? Did you fight?
No.
I can't even picture you fighting, Art. I mean,
no.
Yeah, I was like, what?
I was in the Army and Corps of Engineers.
Okay, okay.
And in other words, see, they test you, and, you know, when you go in.
Okay.
And that was the area that I was open to.
Strong
like,
in, right,
it's like
right.
Here, I have built all the buildings that we live and have. I've done it all. I'm not like a trained architect or this, that, you know, carpenter, what have you. This has all been done through guidance from spirit.
Divine guidance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And anybody that comes here, and I give them what Josh and John call the tour, I explain to them that all this has been guided, you know. It's not like I'm an engineer or...
Well, don't say that. You might not have training
I
of an engineer, but you are indeed an engineer.
Yes, I understood the truth that we have that access to everything, you know.
Exactly.
And it's so beautiful because even when I first began taking care of the children, when Josh was 10 months old, it's like my electric bill ran between $30 and $40 a month year-round because of the way I heat the building, the way I built it, the way the heat
right.
can escape in the summertime,
huh.
the way it's insulated.
Right.
And all this is without having a job.
Okay, talk about that. Can you talk about that briefly? Because it's such, it's your living in trust.
Right, absolutely.
I want that because I really feel it's the biggest thing, Chambra especially, is lacking the trust in themselves.
Right. Well, I've had it all along, and a part of that even began when I first came from Jacksonville. I actually lived in Orange Park. But when I was reading Mother Earth News and understanding a different way of being,
right.
And I came out here and basically to help people. I was going to build a solar house and help the poor people, you know, do things. And I found this 10 acres of land. I was bringing stuff over here. I had two other people, well, a family with two children and another person with a child were going to come out with me.
Right.
And when I actually came out here, they couldn't cut the cord from the city, you know.
Oh, interesting.
And I wound up out here alone.
Okay.
And in that... I went to apply for electricity. That was actually after my son came with me because he made a choice to come live with me because his mom left about in 1970 and took the children, which that was a natural thing back then, you know.
Right, right. That's the way the judge would have called it anyways, right.
Right. But, I wound up out there alone, and I got to thinking about that, and I went up to ask her if she would care to join me in what I was going to do, because the things I was understanding, how to can food and stuff like that, do your own gardening.
Okay.
I've composted since 1970.
Okay.
Nothing gets thrown in the trash or garbage. I don't live that way.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're in total sync with nature.
Yeah. But I came out here, and it was kind of strange because the county that I'm in was pretty poor county, farming community, and I came out here with long hair and a beard, and that was a little scary.
Really?
To the people, not to me.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking farmers. I would think that would be, I would think it'd be more scary to a city person than a farming community.
Yeah, well, it was.
Okay.
Well, it was a small city also. When I came here, there was only three traffic lights here.
Right.
It was very small.
Right.
But I'd walk by people, you know, when I come through town and nod and, you know, say hello or something, and they'd just turn away and like I wasn't there.
Yeah, I have that around here.
Yeah, one of the fortunate aspects of that was their children who got... went into the military and were over in Vietnam and stuff, came back, and they let their hair grow. So I had
to Good for you. All right, anybody that's not your friend is crazy. So
yeah.
That's all I got to say.
But, I mean, I understood that we were all one. You know, I understood that. Here's a church. This is like the Southern Baptist, and there's church like here and over there and down the street, you know, all over. But
right.
They didn't see what I saw. I saw them as part of me, you know. And this was back in the 70s. In that, when I went to apply for electricity, they turned me down. I lived in Suwannee County 5 years with my other son, Michael, who was 8 years old at the time. 5 years without running water and electricity.
But really?
I did not live in fear. I understood the truth of what Jesus said. He said, what is the worth of this handful of sparrows? They don't harvest food. They don't grow food. They don't build barns. Don't you think the Father will take care of you? Well, you can hear it, but then you can live it.
Exactly.
And see, I even, to this day, when I talk to people, I explain these truths to them. And it's the same with Joshua when I became mom, because his mom became ill. When that happened, I had no income whatsoever because I was basically self-employed. I just helped people. And that's a lot of even where some of the material from the buildings that I live in come from, because I do something and, you know, take something apart, and they say, would you like to take this? I said, sure. And,
wow.
I mean, if you walk through here, I can point out where this came from, that came from. And it's a beautiful house. You know, I'm quite pleased with it.
I'm sure it's beautiful.
Yeah. But
let me ask you a question, though. When you didn't have running water or electricity, did you have a well? What did you do for water?
Okay. At that time, I had a truck-mounted camper, and I could park alongside of it and plug it in, you know, to the 12-volt system.
Oh, in the camper?
Pardon?
In the camper?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was one that slid in the back of a pickup truck.
Okay.
And we lived in that. And then it's a long story. It's longer than your two-hour show, but...
Okay. I just know the listeners are going to be curious what did you do for water and electricity? So,
well, the where I was, it was on about probably a 50 or 80 acre plot, but I only had 10 acres. And
okay.
The other son had the other on both sides of me. The son that I bought this one from lived in Texas.
Okay.
And the guy just used it. He grew corn there. He didn't live on there, you know, but he said I could get water from his well. And what I had is a 5-gallon thing, and I pour it into the holding tank in the camper, and we had running water, you know, and I cooked outside a lot with wood.
Okay.
I had cast iron, like you'd put on a wood stove or something like that.
Yeah.
Pans. And I remember.
So did you jimmy rig the 5-gallon thing to be like a shower?
Oh, it had a shower in it, but we could also go to like the state park if we wanted to go. We could shower there, but we could go up to the state park or something like that, you know, if we wanted to. More comfortable.
Okay. So the camper was pretty much providing it. Because did the camper also, did you have an outhouse or did you have a toilet in the camper?
There was a toilet there. See, I had a septic tank on the property.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, they wouldn't allow me to have electricity, and I don't recall the reason, you know, and I'm not going to say it's a long hair.
That's beginning. Because you don't hold grudges.
No. But
it just was what it was.
Exactly, right. And like I never, you know... We even go in there and pay the bills, and it's like Joshua and John, because it's in town. That,
right.
Those people just love these boys. I mean,
yeah.
If there's a time that they don't come in, they may be sitting out in the van eating something. And where's the boys, you know?
Yeah.
Elton, I said hi, you know. I mean, they light up these people's faces in town all the time. And in other words, if you're holding down an 8-hour job, you know, and
yeah,
it's this joyful thing for however long it takes. It's spreading the love. It's spreading the love and light.
Yeah,
and it's so beautiful to be. And
Art, don't underestimate the energy and love that you spread as well.
Absolutely,
okay.
I know that too. You know,
indeed, because this is coming from all three of you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's like everything that I do. You know. write letters or anything. It's I sign all three of us because we're in this together.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you really have lived an exquisite dance of trust and creativity, and you know, I mean, it is the enchanted life.
Right. Well, I was going to leave there. I thought I was in the wrong place because I was doing creative things, you know, making things creative, and we set them up in the Coliseum in town with my other friends that had long hair, you know, that I joined with, that they were doing creative things also.
Okay.
And I sold one thing, only one thing. It was for $2.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, I'm in the wrong place. I need to be where there's tourists that can see what I'm doing because most of my stuff was creative stuff, you know.
Okay.
I was
making
things, for instance, candle holders and stuff like that that would last you your life and you'd pass them down were a lot of the things that we were getting back then, I'm talking in the 70s, from other countries, you know, you'd have them a few months and it'd break.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah.
Everything I was making was profound. And some of it artistic. I've got stuff hanging on the walls here that I created back then and different things. But most of it, when I thought it was I thought I should be over like in California where there's people that, you know, that see things, you know.
There's clearly a, what is the place? Hate? Height? There is an energy in California that definitely produces creativity. Hence Hollywood, for goodness sake.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Right, so I can understand that. Plus, it's just basically as warm as Florida, but I guess, you know, the divine will had something different in store for you.
Well, that is exactly what I always went by, was not by what I desired, but where God led me, where I was being
led.
Right. And from there, I was led out to where I'm located now, on the Suwannee River. And at that place, they had a septic tank, they had a well, and they had a building there, but it was dismantled. People had taken all the walls down there. There was only a floor and a roof there when Michael and I moved out there.
Right.
And I brought my power pole that I'd had built by a local man in town, brought it out there, put it in the ground, tried to get electricity again, they turned me down again.
Huh.
But I never have felt impoverished. The fact that any time that we had some money, we could go anywhere we want. Gas was reasonable back then.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, there's times that Michael and I would, I'd come like as a, for instance, on Friday and take him out of school and we'd go over to Gainesville and go to like a bluegrass festival or something like that. And I'd set up my crafts, you know, and I'd close them down.
So you didn't homeschool your first son?
No, it was in my mind to do that, but it wasn't a popular thing. There was really no backing, so to speak, you know.
Gotcha. No, it's true that it's definitely made a resurgence, so to speak.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. But and it's because of the indigos coming in that are going, the system is just whacked.
Well, I actually took him out of school when he was 16.
Okay.
He was only going there as basically a social gathering. You know, he was not bringing books home. He wasn't doing homework.
Okay.
And one time he got bumped in the hallway. And I said, well, that happens all the time. And he said this guy was just coming down alone, and he rammed me. And then they got in a fight after school was out.
Right.
And Michael got suspended. And
did the other kid get suspended too?
The other boy didn't.
Oh.
So I went in and I said, may I see your rule book, please? I said, why is Michael suspended? And they opened the rule book to fighting. I said, the other boy was fighting too.
Exactly.
He was on the football team.
Oh, get out. The politics comes out as usual.
Right.
Yep.
But
yep.
Michael was very good at sports. He didn't play them for the school. He was just so extremely good, you know.
Right.
And that's why the guy rammed him, because Michael was probably better than him.
Ah, indeed. Nothing like a little jealousy to spark up
yeah.
a fire.
Yeah.
Indeed.
At that
indeed.
Point, you know, somewhere in that time period, I just took him out of school, and we did what we did.
Right, right. Now, is Michael as enlightened as Josh and John?
No.
But okay,
he is
I was
very
just curious.
Spiritual. He is
okay.
His, when he was born, my mother and his mother wanted him named after me, so his first name is Arthur.
Okay.
But his middle name is Michael because I felt Archangel Michael's energy in him.
Oh, right. Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
He was born, his sun sign is Taurus. He absolutely loves the earth. It hurts him to see people cutting trees and stuff like that. And he
yeah, exactly.
Like that,
okay. Yeah. I get the same thing.
That, he is very connected with the Native Americans.
Oh, okay.
Because he's got a collection of arrowheads and stuff like that, and their tools that are unbelievable.
That he's found, what, within his properties and stuff like that?
Yes. And even if he goes elsewhere with other people, he'd be the one to find the most and the best.
Huh, interesting. So he hones in. Like, well, you know what it almost sounds like? This is something that Tobias would say. He's finding what he hid, you know, lifetimes ago.
Yes, that could very well be because, like I say, he's so in tune with nature, and it's just really incredible.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to when I came out here to Dallin Park, that was the proper place to be. I feel it. I feel the energy. I've had two Native American people come here. One of them was full-blooded Apache, and they could feel this energy here. There's an energy vortex here.
Okay, on your property.
Yes.
Okay, and how many acres are you on now?
I have approximately a little over 8 acres, but
okay.
The other that plant that I sent up to you.
Yeah.
Most of those are vacant. They just people bought them years ago, whatever but they don't live on them. They don't come see them. Nothing like that. So we hardly have anyone around us.
Okay, and do you want to share briefly about your community?
Yeah,
even briefly. I just want to make sure we get time for the boys, obviously, as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. But
I want you to share your dream.
Okay. The first part of our dream thing came about with the fact of homeschooling children, that what we were doing, because we live on a dead-end road 20 miles from town. We're out here basically all alone. There's no children around, Josh and John. And when I found the people in town that homeschooled, there was a group of them, or probably more than one, but this particular one, they used to go to the Coliseum and do something. I think it was that something to do with animals. I can't recall what it's called.
What, stuffing them or something good for animals?
Pardon?
When you stuff animals?
No. No, learning how to take care of them.
Oh, okay. Husbandry. Is that animal husbandry?
No, it's a different name. I'll think of it. Say it, but anyway.
Okay. And if you don't, no worries.
Okay. Was something that Josh and John weren't into anyway. But they get up early enough to even go to that because, like I say, we're 20 miles from town, and their typical time of getting up was around 8:30 to 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, that's changed drastically now, and I allow them still to be who they are. But when we get in, after they did that thing at the Coliseum, then right next to that was a park, and they'd have what they called Park Day. Well, at that time, my mother was still alive, and we'd all go in town on that day, and I'd drop her off at the different stores that she wanted to go to, and I'd come over with the children and go be with the children that were being homeschooled where they could be around other children. And
it was
very beautiful. And even at that time, I didn't have an income. My mother would pay for gas to get in town. I had food stamps, but no money.
Okay.
But I knew we were taken care of, and it's like she paid the electric bill, which I told you is only $30 or $40 a month year round. So it didn't hurt me to allow her to do that. But,
well, we should not be hurt by everyone when folks want to help us out. The consciousness you're putting onto the planet alone is worthy of that money.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
I learned that. And just so you know, Adamus has been talking a lot lately, I don't know which channel, saying that there's much help is coming our way.
Absolutely. We see it all the time. You know, I've seen it most all of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know that. I don't live
it. Yeah, you've seen it in the thick of density.
Yes.
I mean, I can only imagine how we're all going to play in it, you know, as we become more and more etheric.
Right. But the first part is what I wanted to do is create a place where children that are being homeschooled could come and express their creativity. Now, these buildings that I have here, not only that, I helped a homeless person back in 2003, I think it was, and acquired a 12 by 60 foot mobile home for free.
Okay.
I was laying in bed, you know, that night before we went to town, and I was thinking, because the one building was a total woodworking shop, and I thought, if I had a storage building, I could put all that woodworking tools in the building and allow this person to have a place to be.
Okay.
I went in.
If Josh and John are going to talk, they should hang up the phone.
Okay.
Only because it's getting harder to understand you, and I want you to be understood.
Right. Well, anyway, I went in town, and I dropped my mother off up at Walmart, and I went over to this mobile home dealer, and I said, do you have any storage buildings? And he said, yeah, come with me. And he walked me out around the back, and there was about 9 mobile homes back there. He said, you can have any one you want for free. Just have it, you know.
Brand new?
No, these were old, used.
Okay. Still an amazing gesture,
Yeah. But he said you just have to pay to have it towed out there.
Okay.
And I walked through them, and this was the only one that didn't have stains in the ceiling from the roof leaking. But it had it had 11 windows missing out of it.
Okay.
And I had it brought out here. I went around the corner. One day I was going up to do something, and there was this guy working on this house, and he had all these windows sitting there leaning against the tree, aluminum jealousy-type windows.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what are you going to do with those? He said, I got to get rid of them. You want them?
Well, by golly.
But, I mean, this has happened all my life, you know. I mean, just there. Didn't want nothing for them. I put them in. I had to make some of the openings a little longer because they were bigger. The windows were bigger, you know.
Okay.
But
so more light comes in. What's the matter with that?
Right, absolutely. And
Exactly.
I moved the whole woodworking shop in there, and then the woman came down. And even the thing, she was much into a computer at the time, and I had one that she could use over there. Even the computer table came very simple.
Yeah.
And
we're going to have to do a show one night where you just talk about your synchronicities. Because I know the boys are getting restless, and we're going to put them on the air soon. So tell them a few more minutes. We're going to get to them for the second hour, I promise.
Okay, but anyway,
continue, please.
All the buildings are full of things that children could see, and the thing that I would say about that, you know, when I showed them this is just another person that's created this. You know, all these things, the places are full, you know, the walls are full, and in other words, if they walked through and saw, like, I have a nice wooden framed type mirror that's kind of oval shaped, and it's got candles alongside of it, and a mirror inside, and you know, like a child could say, wow, my mom would love one of those. And I'd say, let's go build it, you know.
There you go.
And it's just...
Yeah, that's powerful art.
Yeah. It hasn't happened yet, but I don't say that it isn't, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does the voice within say it's going to?
Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
In other words, I continue picking things up because...
Because you're build it and they will come.
Absolutely. And then more than that, I want to be able to purchase these properties and create a place for people to be of like mind. And
yeah.
I feel that that is a needed thing, a little like a community.
Yeah.
And what we would do when these places get purchased, they won't be in my name. They will be put in a trust under God's grace, because it's time to stop buying and selling Mother Earth.
Yeah.
That is in my heart. That's been in my heart for a long time. But
yeah.
In other words, if someone wanted to come and be at a particular spot, they could, but they, you know, they got tired of being here, they get up and go. Nothing.
It's stewardship. It's not ownership.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Art,
the times when
your whole philosophy is ahead of its time, but in my personal opinion, the time has come. Like, this year, next year, 2012, all the changes that are coming, from what I'm reading, I mean, it's a lot of the shifting is going to happen this year.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, 2012, I'm hearing that consciousness is, we already hit the mark of 2012 consciously,
right.
Like
right.
5 years ago.
Yes.
This, well, because, you know, it's so funny, people think the Gregorian calendar is so accurate. We're not even in the same solar system that most people think we're in.
Right.
You know, there's so much illusion, and illusion is more than happy to stick around as long as you believe in it, and it's also more than happy to dissolve when you start understanding what the truth is.
Right.
It really is, it plays to whatever, the tune of the piper, so to speak.
Let me talk about one more thing, and then I'll let you go with Josh and John.
Oh, please, of course, of course.
Okay. One of the things that we wanted to do was open a free store, actually two. We wanted to open one out here where we're located and one in town.
Okay.
And all of these things have come to them. It's absolutely amazing. And, yes, some I got at yard sales, you know. But it's like as far as their clothing and this, that, it just came. It came, you know. And
yeah.
What I wanted to do was open a free store for this. Well, about two Fridays before Christmas, maybe two, I was laying in bed, and I thought, you know, we haven't opened that free store yet, and I know that people are in dire need at this time.
Right.
And I thought, well, be nice if we could give these toys to children. And Josh and John felt the same about it. And we had them stored, all the things that they were through with, stored in
okay.
that mobile home that I'm telling you about. It's parked in my driveway.
Okay.
And they worked and worked helping sort this stuff out. It took 3 days, you know, to go through this because we moved stuff. And anyway,
yeah, you organized
went in
it.
Town and was speaking with a friend and telling them what I wanted to do. And when we started coming out of town, I have another friend sort of on the way home here that I've known for a long time, and I went by and was telling them the story. I said, I don't want to take this up, you know, where they're going to sell it. I want to give it away for free.
Right.
And she says, oh, I know just the way to do that, because she works in the school system as a music teacher.
Okay.
She gave me this woman's email address, and I couldn't catch her till Monday, because this was like Friday when we went into town. But
right.
I got a hold of her Monday, and what her job is, she helps children that are homeless and not living with their parents, all these other different things, and she knows who needs help in there.
Right, right. She's
and
in the middle of
yeah.
it, actually. Right.
Come on in. There's a church up on Walker Avenue, white church. Bring the stuff there. So we loaded. I have a 1989 GMC van. We had it loaded
okay.
from the rear door all the way up to the front seats and stacked
wow.
boxes and boxes of stuff.
Wow.
When we got there, we sat there. There was no one at the place at the time. And this guy drove up. And I told him who I was looking for. He said, oh, yeah, my wife knows her. And he got out a cell phone, and he gave her a call and got connected with her. Now, she was very busy, so she sent her helper. And she came out and opened the doors, and I said, look at this stuff. And we opened all the doors on the van, and she just couldn't believe it. She said, my God, that's so much. But she said, we can't accept it.
Why?
Because it was used. And see, what they do, she said, if we take this and it's known, then we'll lose our government grant. They get a government grant. So she says, I will help.
Gotta love politics.
I talked with her for an hour and a half. telling the story, why I wanted to do this, what has come to us, and I want this to go to people that need help now.
Well, can she connect you directly with the people?
No. Well, all right. What happened is she gave me, she said, up at the fire department, they do a thing, Toys for Tots thing.
Yep.
Okay. And she said something else, but whatever it was didn't seem right. And I went and saw another friend, and he said he had a store in town, and right behind it there's a vacant lot. He said you could set up there. Now, December was our rainiest December on record ever.
Well,
it rains so much here.
Yeah.
And I kind of was concerned about that. You know, I don't know how we'd do that. So then we went later over to the fire department and went around to the back door and talked to the guy there, you know, said I had all these things. And what they do, they take people's names and put this list, and then they just fill paper bags, you know, grocery bags.
Okay.
Toys. And
they don't care if they're new or not.
Right. Well, yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, well, they took the toys, did they not?
Pardon? No.
They took the toys out of the van, right? Right.
Nope.
They
did. We were out there, you know, like I say, behind the fire department. I said, Joshua, John, walk with me. About 40 feet away was the old-timey train station, the freight station, with a covered roof, probably 60 foot long, and really wide, you know, where they'd unload freight cars.
Okay.
And I said, Josh, John, imagine this. Even if it rained, if we could get some way to do this, you know, under here. And we looked at it, and we finally, you know, came home. And when I got hold of the woman again, she said, I'll be in my office tomorrow between 8 and 10. Well, we don't usually get up till like 9:30, 10 at the earliest for me.
Right.
And for the boys, it's even later than that.
Right.
But anyway, I woke up at 2 minutes after 8. I got on the phone because she just sent the email with her phone number. I got on the phone, talked to her. I said, you know, I told her what we did at the fire department, and it just didn't feel right. And because I want the children to see what they want, what they, you know, pick out what they want.
Okay.
Well, I was telling her about the train station. She says, I know somebody that works there. Well, they turned the front part of that into a museum. And this guy that she knew was like the janitor, so to speak.
Okay.
And I said, another thing I'd like to do would be put it on the radio, because they have what they call a community calendar. It's a local station.
Okay.
She says, I know somebody that works there. Within a half hour, Goldie, she had this totally arranged, all for free. And it was just so amazing. And
so you got to actually see the kids that came and took
absolutely, the gift. But not only actually see them, I hear these stories that, like, this, the people come up and say, this is so beautiful. My husband's been out of work for a year. I have a part-time job. We're just making it, you know?
Yeah.
All of these different stories. And even when we pulled up, there's more to it, a lot more to it. But when we pulled up there, I had, because Michael had a trailer over there, a 10-foot-long trailer. He said, you want to use the trailer? Because we did not unload the van at all.
You just took it right out of the van?
No, when we got home here.
Another
week getting it together.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
What was interesting about it was on Monday. It was the beginning of the children's Christmas holidays, so they could actually come there themselves. You know, they weren't
right.
in school. They announced it over the speakers in the school system.
Oh, wow.
I mean, because these women worked there at the school, you know. It was just fantastic. And when she got this together, I made probably 20 phone calls that day. You know, I called the train station guy three times. Because I thanked him, number one. Then he started talking, and I said, and he said, we've been looking for something to do to help the community.
Aww.
It just all fell in, Goldie. It was just so beautiful. I mean, talking about synchronicities. And
yeah.
He says, I've got even these folding tables. You know, they're...
Everybody chipped in, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He said, we've got these folding tables. And when I got home... When this was getting arranged, Michael asked me if I wanted to use this trailer, and I said, nah. And as I was walking back home, because he lives right across the street from us, I saw a lot of the children's toys there that we had to move, because we live in the flood zone, the Suwannee River.
Oh.
When it floods, it's like within the 100-year flood zone.
Okay.
And we had to move these from underneath of our building and put them over on the higher ground.
Right.
And I went back, I think I'd like to do it. We had the van filled and this whole trailer filled. Now, the children stopped using dressers, probably 6 years ago or longer. I don't know. We use shelves. In other words, John used to have some of his clothes in on my shelf in my bedroom. And there's no walls there to, you know, separate it real good. But he was always wearing, you know, he'd pick things out. And Joshua was always, like, wearing basically the same thing. He didn't go open the drawer and go dig down in there, you know, to get...
Right, which most people don't, to be quite honest.
I know that.
I know that from my own shirt drawers.
I've been using shelves since the 70s. In other words,
right.
I have shelves with work clothes on them, town clothes. You know, and all the colors right there. Oh, I'm going to wear this.
Yeah, exactly. Everything you want to see, you can.
Right. And what I did when I noticed this, I decided to take the dressers out of the room. I stored them in that mobile home.
Right.
And made them each shelves.
Okay.
And then I started seeing Joshua wearing different stuff all the time, you know, because he could see it.
That's so funny, because I know in my T-shirt drawer I don't wear the old stuff at the bottom. It's so funny.
So I had those dressers and all those big toys, like these plastic big Jeeps that you can sit in, you know, and different things like that, all on this trailer.
Yeah.
I had a 10-foot trailer full. And when I first pulled up there, before I even started unloading, now Joshua and John pitched in tremendously. They started bringing the boxes up on this platform. You had to walk up a little ramp and get up on the platform. And they started unloading the boxes, and I walked over to the fire department, and I saw this lady coming out of there, and the only thing she had was a hula hoop. And I said, I'm giving away free toys over right over. You know, I mean, you could see it. You know, it's only like 40 foot away. And she said, I'll be right over. And I didn't, like I said, I started unloading stuff. She says, those dressers for free, too? I said, absolutely. She said, oh, my God. She said, I have a little two-year-old, and her clothes are piled up here. They're piled up on the sofa. And so beautiful, Goldie, the joy of helping these people, you know, because it came to me. And I would tell my story, you know, enough to let them know you'll be taken care of, you know.
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful experience. And, like, all the toys and stuff, they were all Josh and John's. And when children came up, they'd be with them. And I had 10 full tables set up of toys. I had a lot of stuff set out just on the floor in boxes. And then they have these benches where people would sit, you know, back in the olden days. And they're probably... about 20 foot long. I had two of them filled with stuffed animals.
Aww.
Yeah, and then we had like these little castles and all these kind of things. They're kind of big, you know, like maybe a foot and a half high or something like that. We had a bunch of them. And it's like Joshua and John would, when the children come up, they say, oh, yeah, this goes with this, and this is how this works. You know, they just went, they were so, so helpful, helping these children, and so loving towards it, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember this one girl come up, the lady, and she had four little girls with her. And she, as she walked up the ramp, and I was kind of standing there, she said, now, girls, only take one toy. And I said,
right.
Well, wait a minute. Come here. Come over here, dear.
said,
you let those children. She, we talked a while. She had seven children. The other three were at home.
Oh, wow.
I said, you let those children have whatever they want, as much as they want, because I want all this stuff to go to help people.
Right.
It was such a blessing, such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's like even the guy at the radio station, remember I told you I made a lot of calls. I called him three times because, the radio station, the third time I actually contacted him.
Right.
And told him what I was doing, you know. And he said,
did they announce it on the radio?
Pardon? Oh, yes.
Did they announce
it
on? Okay.
The community calendar is probably like at noon or something like that.
Right.
And he said, oh, I remember you. I remember you and the boys. Because, see, they moved the radio station from one place over to my friend's store on the other side of it. I even did part of the work, you know, to create that room for them.
Wow. Right.
But, some years back, this was after their mom left, he said, I remember you. You've got those two children, and you changed the locks on the back door. He said, I'll not only do it on the community calendar, I'll do it, you know, early in the morning, too, you know. Do it several times. It was so beautiful, Goldie. I mean, absolutely beautiful. But it was totally, totally, totally in my heart to help others for free, you know.
Yeah, to genuinely help. No strings attached.
Yeah. It was so beautiful. And those people, you know, they'd come up and be so grateful and so thankful. It was beautiful. I mean, it was just
You're beautiful,
total
Art.
Love. It was total love, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's an amazing story.
To tell my story and let them know this stuff came to us so easily, you know, and I wanted to give it away to people that needed help.
Yeah, it's an exquisite story. You really are an exquisite man. And, I can't wait till the boys come on because they are such – you know, I can't tell you how often I see this again in my nannying journeys and adventures. Kids are a reflection of their parents.
Yeah.
I mean, and what's interesting is the parents often, when the child's reflecting a shadow side of a parent, it's so interesting to watch the dynamic play out between the parent and the child because the thing that bugs the parent the most is what they deny about in their own being.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's you know, of course, from the outside, I sometimes try to drop hints, but the truth is, if someone's not on a conscious path to work, you know, to unveil their shadows, so to speak, or, you know, to integrate their shadows, if you want to keep your job, you just learn to talk. I work with the kids because the kids are so open. You know, I can't really work with the parents. It's a limited job on that because they're not even spiritually speaking looking for, you know, the creator within.
Right.
But you being, you know, I mean, your boys, I mean, I've known you guys for, I don't even know how long. It doesn't even matter.
About 9 months, something close to that.
About 9 months. Well, the fact that you've done your shadow work, it's so obvious because, I mean, they're just exquisite little human beings. I mean, you know, we should bring them on. Let's bring them on.
Okay.
But, you know, I love you, Art. I love you. Sharing your story. And listen, now that you've been on the show once, you got to become a frequent guest. Because I'll be honest with you, the stories you have to share need to be told.
It does. You know,
it does.
You know, and Josh, I'll say, oh, he's over there giving the talk.
Well, because it's an energy that is, it's been happening for you since the 70s, but it is just now where people they have the ears to hear, and I've got the platform to share, you know, and, you know, okay, so you get that, right? You need to come on more, so.
There's no coincidence there, you know.
No coincidences. Right. So we thank Christina for getting the flu. It's all in divine order.
Absolutely. I believe that wholeheartedly. You know,
yeah, so do I. So do I. You're beautiful, my friend. You really are. And just so my listeners know, what if you can get the boys, when I first met Art and we were talking, and I mean, we connected, all three of us connected immediately.
Yeah,
I had actually thought I was pregnant at one point, and my father was going to throw me out of the house, and all this stuff was going on. And Art absolutely, hands down, goes, "You come live here." I mean, there was no questions.
Right.
You just went, "If you need a place to live and you want to raise a child, you come here."
Yep.
I was so deeply touched by that. I really was deeply touched by that. And since then, you know, it's like I ended up not being pregnant, but I never stopped feeling the love from the three of you guys.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Well,
it's an amazing.
Well, they're full of it, you know. Well, we are, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's who all of us are, but not everybody, you know, a lot of people have that dust, so to speak, over, you know, clogging up their nadis and their pores and their energetic, you know, whatevers, so that they don't see their own light. They don't trust their own light.
Yeah.
But that's not the case with you guys.
One more thing, I'll just make it short. When we were, Michael and I were on that 10 acres.
Right.
You know, living out of the camper.
Uh-huh.
We were there. I was outside cooking, you know, with wood out there, cooking a meal.
Okay.
And I had one can of vegetable. I don't even know what it was, in the cupboard. That's all.
Right.
But I was out there cooking a meal. And up pulls this car. And they came out, talked to me, and got three grocery bags full of food. Like I said, I never was in denial about, you know, who's taking care of us, you know. I knew it.
Well,
I wasn't
exactly. Afraid. That's exactly. You got to be open to be taken care of by the universe.
Right, right.
Indeed,
like
indeed.
They brought like a gallon of milk, a couple of gallons of water, and they didn't, I don't even know how they found where I lived.
Listen, it's God's
it
work,
they,
babe.
Had a little meeting in town there, and I went to it. It was not a meeting, but it's like where they were showing how to bake bread, and that's something that I wanted to learn. And
okay.
I did it all the way up until the children's mom became ill, you know, because it's a four-hour procedure, really.
Okay.
You know, from the moment of doing it all the way up till you let it rise.
Eating
twice,
it.
You know.
Right.
But that's how I met those people, but how they knew where I was located, because I was out in the middle of a, you know, 50, 60-acre place, you know. But,
yeah, well, they, you know, remember, we're all divinely guided.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they
and
were
I mean,
clearly in connection. They were connected
to
them. Yeah.
That's a story that I like to tell, you know, because it just living that truth, not living in fear that I only have this or don't have that, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
We're taken care of. If you allow it.
Yeah, well, because, you know, another show I want to do with you is I would love to banter, and not banter, and, you know, the whole Crimson Circle premise. Because I got a lot of people on Facebook that are Crimson Circle, a lot of Chambra out there, and I would love to advertise it as a show about Chambra. Bring Chambra on, and you be part of it, you know what I mean? Like, because it's so clearly a part, you know, for me, I won't speak for you, but for me, it is a significant part of the foundation of who I am and what I am.
Me too.
You know, in other words, they confirm so much. Well, I knew this stuff, but when I hear it through Crimson Circle, I'm like, yes. I really. It gives me the confidence to go, yes, that is my truth.
That's what I wanted to say also, and the fact that I tell the children this all the time, all the sites that I go to, it's just confirmation of what I already know and am and do, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
And hearing other people, it just feels good to know there's others that feel the same or understand the same, you know.
Exactly, exactly. We're going to do a Chambra show. I'll definitely let you know when that's going on, because we're going to do a Chambra show.
Okay.
All right. I love you, Art. Thank you so much for sharing. And I have a feeling once the boys come on, we won't see you anymore. Or we won't hear you anymore. I just know that from past experience.
Yep.
But we will talk again soon. Namaste, 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 my brother.
Same to you.
I feel you, babe. I love you.
I love you, too.
Okay. Hey, Joshua!
Hey, Goldie.
Yeah. How's my volume?
Okay, no, wait a minute. How many phone lines we got going, babes?
Three. Is my volume okay?
Yeah, you're okay. No, you talk, John.
Okay. So anyway. Well, Dad gave a long talk.
That dude has...
No, Dad didn't give the long... Because I'll be honest with you. If you shorten what your father says... The energy of what he says gets denied.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm never even...
Because you can feel the buildup of your father, especially in his comfort zone, which is his strongest space. And, you know, I mean, he's never been on the air like this before. He did exquisite.
Yeah,
and, again, like I said, this is not the last show you guys are going to do. This is the first of many shows.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if there's one thing I've learned in life, life's a lot better when religion's not involved.
Yeah.
What we believe, you know.
Well, anyway.
Well, it's easier because doesn't it feel more natural than what the religions... Well, I don't know. Have you guys... You guys have never really... Like, have you read about religion at all?
We have a very good understanding about religion and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, from TV and just different places, it all pieces together. It's like a puzzle. I pick up this piece here and this piece here, and there's the image.
Yeah.
Right, but so the way you live, I couldn't call it a religion. Would you call it a philosophy?
I just call it living.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. See, I love it. No boxes. You don't put anything in boxes.
Not at all.
So, I know you guys want to talk all your stories and everything, but what I want to do is because this is what I do with all my guests on all my shows. First show is always introduction. We got to introduce you guys. Because nobody really knows who you guys are, at least not my listeners.
Okay,
so Josh, you go first. So
okay, well,
just give a background, and you know the whole premise of the show is really about, you know, how you're living consciously, the freedoms you have, who you are. Just you talking, people clearly will see that, you know, there is something genuinely amazing about you.
Yeah,
but, you know, just talk about who you are.
Yeah, I'll do my best because I'm a lot less chatty than I used to be for some reason. Well, anyway.
Okay. Welcome to puberty. Sorry.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then.
Sorry.
That's fine. Laughs are part of it.
Exactly. Okay.
I was born at home. Basically, I've just been enjoying the freedom that comes all my life. I can go to bed when I want. I can get up when I want. I used to go to bed. I put a quick end to this, but I used to go to bed at like 6 a.m.
Okay.
Freaky. And wake up at like 3 a.m. I mean, p.m., sorry.
3 p.m., right.
But I'm weaning it down.
Yeah, but you had told me when you did that, it was basically because the heat of the day you chose to sleep through.
Yeah.
And in the cooler parts of the day, which were basically, you know, later on in the afternoon through the evening, is when you decided to be up, which, you know, really from a natural rhythm point of view makes sense.
Yeah, totally. But now I, it's like about go to sleep at the latest about 2-ish and wake up maybe like 11.
Okay.
And I just live it out loud, basically.
Okay, let me ask you questions because it might be easier. Tell me about, do you remember when you were a kid, your grandfather talking to you?
I remember that part. I was in my room making my bed, and we had this box that we have a mobile home air conditioning unit that we use to heat the upstairs and the downstairs, or rather circulate the air anyway.
Okay.
And, my cat was sitting on the box, and he was like in his, in my little, it's like a kind of fold-out chair. It's a little tiny thing, but still, it's a nice, comfortable seat. It's kind of like a beanbag. Anyway,
okay.
Making my bed.
Can you talk up a little bit, Josh?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
much better. Okay. I can already feel you come closer. Okay.
All right. I was on. I was going from one side to the other side of my bed, just making it as usual, and I was just making a little bit of chit-chat, and I knew that he was sitting there. I didn't see him per se. I just kind of felt him there, you know? And every time that it was, like, my line, my cat would look at me. And every time that it was his line, she would look at him. And that was really, really cool when I saw it. And the other time when Dad was talking about the Grandfather Bob in New York thing.
Yeah.
Just up here, I'm even looking at the spot where I was walking back and forth while I was talking to him. That was a really
so you can hear him, but you couldn't see him.
It was like I just when I do any kind of talking, it's kind of like emailing. I just kind of send a little email from my head outwards, but this time it was more like instant messaging. But you know, I felt like a talking back, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I basically just kind of felt him in the room, you know. Less of a ghost, but more of a ghost. Yeah.
Less of a ghost, but more of a ghost?
Yeah, less of a ghost in like you could see him, more of a ghost in like you can feel him.
Oh, okay, I see. A sensation, right. And because I get a lot of my teachings from the show Ghost Whisperer, which that's why I was like, oh, okay, so you can hear ghosts but not see ghosts, because that's part of the plot line that they're showing on that show. But that's a whole other show. I don't want to get into that. Because also, can you share with, you know, with everybody your connection with nature and how you experience nature?
Well, we live all around nature. You know, there's bugs and animals and birds. I love seeing birds soaring in the sky because lately the sky has been just pure blue and it's nice. I just love the look of birds flying like that. And we pick up firewood all around because there's enough where I don't even have to cut down dead trees. I could just pick it up and snap it. It's a mutual thing. We're cleaning up the earth and they're giving us free heat, you know? There's a connection there. It feels very nice to do that, you know? Even when it's like in the 30s, I don't even mind it because it feels good and, you know, the movement and everything. When it's appropriate or way too hot, pick one. We always walk barefoot everywhere we go. And
so your feet are always on the earth, basically.
Yeah, and that feeds the earth energy one way or another.
Right.
Yeah,
wow.
There was even this one time our brother Michael, he has this property on the other side of the road.
Okay.
The side. And he has this one tree. It's a pretty big one. I think it might have been a pine or something. Pine tree or something. And I was even talking to him for a small amount of time there. He was kind of...
You mean telepathically or...?
Just kind of verbally, but in the mind. I do most of my talking in the mind now, but that was years ago. But he just seemed like a jolly guy, just talking, making a little bit of chit-chat, you know? It was a good day.
Who, your brother?
No, with a tree.
Oh, the tree. Oh, okay, my bad. Okay.
Fine, I talk in riddles.
You're losing me, Josh. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay, that's basically a rundown. Anything
okay,
else?
Okay, that's true. Well, and do you have a connection with animals as well besides the bird? Like, you have a cat, right? And you're close with the cat?
We always kept cats, as I was talking to you earlier about cats and dogs, we just lean towards cats.
Right.
There was even this one cat. He had a lot of my characteristics too. He was very strong. He was and I'm not just saying this to compliment myself. He was a very good fighter too. But he was also very, very sweet around people, you know, who he knows and stuff like that. He was born here, he lived here, and he died here. And it was just
Do you believe that that's your fate?
The point is, you know, he just stayed around us the whole time.
But do you believe that you'll be in Florida where you are your whole life?
More or less, this will be my home location.
Okay.
If I ever be traveling, you know, this is where we're homing pigeons and we home back home. Yeah.
Also, you know what I want to hear? I've never asked you this. Can you describe in your you know, perception and your view how you see your father?
Like a friend, like a teacher, sort of, kind of like God. That's kind of, it's just that, he's like that guy, you know? He's like the stereotype God, you know, the guy who's in the white robe with the white beard, you know, that kind of guy.
Okay.
Friend, teacher, all around just nice, what's the word I'm looking for? Just a perfect kind of friend.
Yeah.
Hang on one second.
Goldie.
Oh, wait. Okay, here it is.
Goldie.
Yes?
One thing I'd like to say is Joshua, John, and I hug every day.
Yeah, that, yeah.
I was going to talk about the group hug.
Many times a day.
In supermarkets
we'll
and everything.
We'll do it in town, out in the parking lot, whatever. We're
yep, you call it group hugs, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, call group hug, and that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, no, God bless group hugs. I was going to let John talk about group hugs, so.
Go ahead.
He stole my thunder from him.
Okay. Oh, you want John and me to do a duet rundown of his life?
What do you mean?
It's John's introduction turn, unless there's anything else you wanted to ask me.
Well, I mean, I didn't know it was going to be like this. You know, I'm sorry. It's like normally our conversation just flows quite effortlessly. I'm feeling a little rigid right now, myself, not from you, just like, because, you know, I just speaking with you, for me, I'm like, wow, I never spoke to a, you know, how old are you?
14.
You know, it's like, when I mean, I've had literally 2, 3, 4 hour conversations with you and your brother. You know, I we're never bored. You know, your brother's 11. You know, I remember the first time I heard you guys talk on Daniel Jacob's radio show, I was like, wow, like, who are those people? and then when I found out that, you know, you were completely being raised in a level of freedom that I only dreamed about as a kid, that you're actually living. I mean, it's like there are literally no rules in your house. You are completely sovereign to do as you choose.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, because I remember at one point, we, you know, you were talking to me during a conversation about current events, and I was like, where are you getting this information from, and what were those shows you used to watch to get your, the cartoon shows?
Oh, yeah, like Family Guy and South Park and stuff like that.
And they were showing you what current events were from basically the storylines.
Yeah. And you
so
know,
you,
like,
and,
jokes.
Pardon?
Like little spoofs and jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it was like, I mean, because I remember saying to myself, so you were getting current events, you were getting philosophies of, you know, certain like big cases or what I call headline events that were happening in America, but you were getting them from an interesting point of view, because the whole South Park and Family Guy, they're going to tell you what without the bias, so to speak. You know what I mean? I guess there is a bias because it's satirical, but it's really quite an interesting perspective to be getting, you know, political views and perceptions of the country all through that, you know, genre. And it's like, I just thought it was like brilliant. It's like, wow, it's making learning fun. It's making, that's current events.
Yeah.
You know, because I was in class in current events going, when does this get over? I so want to get out of here. I just wanted, high school for me was the worst time of my entire life. I hated it. Just absolutely hated it. And I think you're an amazing human being, and just thought I'd tell you that. Yes.
One part of that, even some of those shows that they were watching, I didn't watch them, you know, but I allowed them to do that because it allowed them to see what they've come here to change.
Exactly.
Right? You know? To see the foolishness.
Exactly.
Foolish.
Art, it was, I'm telling you, it's so brilliant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, isn't it Adamus, even Tobias, always saying, in the complexity of the problem, look for the simplicity.
Right, yeah.
So the simplicity of what you just said is, here's what you're coming to change, and they get to do it by cracking up because these shows were clearly comedies.
Yes, yeah.
It matches their whole, you know, their energy. And yet they're learning exactly what needs to, what you're, you know what I'm saying? Boy, and if you saw that on paper, I can just imagine the judgment that would come from the many of the families that I work here in Fairfield County.
Yeah.
But it's like, and that's, see, it's like stepping out of the box, pulling away all the judgment so we can see what's true and what's real is people who know how to walk the walk like you guys.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua would never give his age before. This is new. He didn't like to be put in that box of a certain age.
Thank you, Josh. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because you still very much defy your age, right? I mean, you've...
Oh, yeah.
Since I've known you, it's defied me. Like, are you kidding me? You're not the average 14-year-old.
Yeah,
and yet, in so many ways, you are.
Yeah. Yeah, both me and John are very mature for our age, or at least we're in a good place, you know.
Well, right. I mean, at the very least, you know, you know what inner peace is, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know that you're the creator of your experience, correct?
Yeah.
And you're more than willing to be responsible for your life, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are things that most people have to go to psychotherapists in their 40s to figure out.
Oh, really?
Well, that's the way Goldie did. Actually, I went in my 30s, but that's because I woke up a little early. But that's essentially the awakening. What is the awakening? All three of those. So, I mean, that foundation now, it's like, so what's your goals in life?
Basically, just live it loud, enjoy it.
That's awesome. Well, and one of your goals is to start a band, correct? You and your brother are going to start a band?
Yes, that would just be perfect. I basically just want to bring the music to the people and play the music, because singing along with the recorded stuff, that's just not enough. I just want to do something about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's frequency in something live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Adamus said that last month.
Yeah.
Well, as you eloquently brought it in, and I'll be honest with you, Almeen's been talking about it as well, that
it's
the non-cognitive learning that we're doing now, and it's coming through the music. It's coming through sound, frequency, vibrations.
But both Josh
and
John feel it within themselves. They feel it.
Yeah.
John was air drumming for 3 months before I found something for him to actually play with. You know?
Yeah, and I was playing.
Before a physical stick came into his hand. Right? He didn't even need that, though, because in the air drumming, he was playing drums.
Absolutely.
Basically,
yes.
I play
sure.
air rhythm guitar a lot. And not always.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Most of the songs.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. So, did you want me to do the rundown of my life?
I want you to do the rundown, Johnny. Yes.
Okay.
John, sorry. I never call you Johnny.
Yeah. All right.
Pardon?
Oh, I said we were talk blocking him.
Yeah.
Bit of it. Yeah. Okay. Well, basically the part is not that it matters, but I'm 11.
It matters. Oh, only to the audience, not to us.
Well,
okay.
You know, not that age matters, but you know.
He was born in the Gainesville, Florida hospital.
Yeah. And I'm a natural drummer because I just feel like that.
Dad was a drummer. He always adored Ringo Starr of the Beatles, and he loves the original lead guitarist, a drummer in our favorite band.
Yeah.
Which is, and
you can say it.
Yeah. No, I can do it. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, life's been pretty good. Up until when I was like 7, I started liking Ringo and bands and stuff. And
no, it's got to be 6 or something.
Something around that.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, anyway, recently I got into
maybe last year or something.
Yeah, I got into a lot of Kiss and Peter Criss, the drummer of Kiss. Well, he used to be.
Okay.
And there's a lot of signs, that his middle name was John, my name. And for the record, Williams, that's our last name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did know that, but I didn't remember, because I was like, I don't know their last names.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you, John. So John, tell me what it's been like growing up with no rules.
Well, it's been pretty easy. I mean, I don't really get denied most of my stuff. Nowadays, I ask Dad for something, he says, no, it's fine for me, I already got some stuff, to,
his growing up has been particularly easy because I teach him lot of the street smart essential stuff,
Yeah, hang on a second.
Okay.
I'm running out of batteries.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
hang on a second.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I teach him, longer words, sarcasm. I taught him what sarcasm was, you know.
Yeah.
Well, right. But didn't you tell me, too, that that was another thing that, that South Park taught you, what sarcasm was?
No, more or less, I just picked it up from many different places.
Like Family Guy.
Oh,
okay.
Like that.
We had a conversation though one night, Josh, and it was those shows that taught that to you.
Oh, yeah.
Was it you or maybe it was John that said that? Somebody said, one of you guys said to me it was the shows, and I was like, wow, okay.
Oh, yeah, it was me. You see, shows just give me pieces of the puzzle, and some shows that are filled with information I'm not sure of give me a lot of pieces of the puzzle, so,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Put it together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't told you this yet. See, do you remember that one meditation, the first one on Friday, like 2009?
What is it?
No, that was, I'm not sure if you did this. It was something like 1 o'clock for just 5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
I can't recall. Dad, what was that meditation? I don't really know. The one for 5 minutes at 1 o'clock. You did that the Friday?
A recent meditation?
Yeah, hang on, John, you just go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, for that meditation.
Okay.
Every meditation that I've been on, you know, since that one, I've channeled an alien.
Tell me about this. All right, John, talk to me. Tell me.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it was just like, I told Josh, I'm not going to tell you the name yet, but I told Josh how I would channel this alien, and he said that's exactly how you would talk to Grandfather Bob. And, his name, I'm not sure, it's just a name, Tom Botmore.
Okay, no, well, and listen, without means work, listen, these are languages could start coming through, too, and believe me when I tell you, languages are not English, it's all different sounds. Oh, you're talking the meditation. Is this from the website that your father's connected to that I'm connected to as well? That we're here to experience first encounters, correct?
Yeah, it's something like that. The neat thing about it was, you know, it's one of those things, kind of being like an energy thing. You know, to feel energy and put it into the earth.
Okay.
About that. Anyway, every meditation since that one, I've been talking to him. And the first one, I just told him about life. He was curious, you know. I told him about Monopoly because we have that little thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Got into Monopoly recently at that point, you know.
Yeah, and
So what is it that the alien is asking about? I'm curious, like, what do they want to know about us?
I'm assuming the human experience, so that's only what I'm guessing.
Yeah, because I just said hi, and then he just said, hi, see, I kind of think these things up in my mind. I'm serious about this, you know.
The words just come to him.
He
doesn't make them up, you know.
That's what channeling is.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, really?
It just came to me. So, you know, it was really nice to talk to him. He's a good friend. I might meet him on, one of the ships.
Well, indeed. And just so you know, when I went on the ship, it's just a projection of your consciousness. Your body doesn't have to go. Just your consciousness can go.
Yeah, they look like one of those, in Star Wars, the chameleons, from Camino.
If you ever seen, if anybody has ever seen Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Okay, and what do they look like? What color are they?
Well, they're just kind of, white with long necks and stuff.
Yeah, they're
kind
of humanoid, but they're very thin. They walk kind of slowly.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this the ones that built the army? Is that the ones you're talking about?
Yeah, those guys, the clone army.
I know that. I remember those. Okay. Oh, wow. Actually, if you think about it, though, isn't that what Steven Spielberg's Third Kind, that's what they look like, too?
He sent the image of himself. He's just, kind of standing and talking.
Or something close, you know.
Yeah.
Well, of course, but wow! I believe that's probably exactly what they look like.
Yeah, it's just neat, he's just in a nice, kind of a white spaceship and stuff. Inside is, there's a bit of a surrounding square image, along with his face and stuff.
Okay.
That I saw a bit of the ship.
Talk to me about the ship because I have ship experience too. Tell me, what color was your ship? Was white?
Inside, it was, you know, kind of whitish, you know.
I'm guessing it was like most of the inside of the guys who built the army, the inside of, like, everything, you know.
Yeah, I think,
bright white,
yeah.
You know?
I think I had saw a little window to space.
Let me ask you a question. Did you notice that when you looked at the ship, did it do anything when you looked at, like, when I looked at my ship, it would actually respond to me looking at it.
Well, this was more of like a little, you know, kind of like a picture. Just, you know,
Okay, I see. It's because he's projecting what it looks like to you.
Yeah.
As opposed to you being in the ship.
Yeah, see, I just mostly saw him. He just wanted to show me him, but I saw a bit of the ship behind there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I still remember what the image looked like. It was just, you know, like a kind of a, just a long shaft. You know, you could see it's kind of domey inside, and there's a little window, a kind of a long one. You know,
that
goes around the ship, and it's see stars out there. That's pretty much, you know, what I make it up. But, you know, I just thought it, just until now, you know, I just thought it was neat that, you know, I'm actually channeling an alien.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what's amazing is, I mean, your father, who has, you know, clearly stated this from, you know, when he first came on the show and ever since I've known him, and it's just who he is, he supports all this. I mean, because your father, like me, channelings are what confirms who we are. So, of course, it's no surprise that you start channeling. You know what I mean? That of course. This is kind of generational. This is, you know, it's a generational thing.
Yeah, because like he said about the telepathic thing, see, I'm going to act out a scene. So we were in the A-frame one summer's night or something. And I was
just for the listeners to know, the A-frame is what they call their the part of the house that you guys live in, correct?
Houses.
You see, we live in one, and we live below the same one as is our rooms.
Yeah.
And the upstairs, our houses are on stilts because we're in a flood zone.
Yeah, Josh has a nice little CD 6.
John, I didn't get there yet. And across, there's a ramp that connects the two buildings. The other one on stilts is the A-frame. It's just like the recreation area. That's where I keep my TV and my entertainment systems and stuff. And I have a six CD changer. And I fill it full of Kiss. So.
Yeah, and he was he was making iced teas, and we were jamming to their new album called Sonic Boom. Just, you know, if anybody wanted to buy it,
it's a good album.
Yeah. Anyway, and I was just thinking of a song that I wanted Josh to turn it to called When Lightning Strikes.
The one that we sent you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then before saying it, I was just going to ask him, but he just put it on that song.
Now, did you feel your brother think that?
It's kind of like a surprise. You see, it's basically like the other guy picks up on your thoughts and does it because of he's not quite aware of it. He just does it instinctively.
Yeah, you know.
Exactly. No, exactly. Because you know what I've noticed? First of all, telepathy is becoming prevalent. The whole planet is telepathic. It's just whether we allow it to be, you know what I mean, whether we accept it, so to speak, or not. But I have found that I'll call somebody, and they'll go, I was just thinking about you. And it's like, well, of course you were. I'm responding.
Yeah.
But I don't realize that I'm responding. But to be honest, after a while, I started realizing, like, there's a gentleman in my life that we have a love-hate relationship. And we'll just leave it at that. But I'll literally know when he's thinking about me, like, in a constant, like, loop. Because it's like, oh, my God, no wonder why he's burning a hole on my brain. He is burning a hole with me on his brain. Therefore, I'm getting that message. And it finally hit me. It's like, okay, here's the truth. If I think about somebody, more than likely it's because they're thinking about me. You know, the more, you know, I'm 44. At this point, there's people that think about me in loving ways. There's people that think about me in not so loving ways.
Yeah.
And it's like I just started becoming aware of, like, that I can actually, because we can do this too. I mean, I have been like, I would think about a person and go, call me. You know, I would picture and visualize the person calling me. Within 5 minutes, they call.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
wow. That is deep.
Play with that. Play with that. And to be honest, I would say, I really got you to call me. And they were like, why? And it's like, because I would say, call me. I was thinking about you. I would visualize myself picking up the phone saying, hey, what's up? And they were like, really? And I'm like, really?
Yeah, I have done that, you know, the thought before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, well, Dad said you guys were playing with it.
Yeah. I was just about to talk about that. Yeah, see, I would even say just like, think of the song I'm thinking of. And he would, I remember this one night, think of what game I want you to play. Or something like that,
game.
And yeah, it's a bit of a stereotype, but still, yeah, we enjoy video games. So
no, that's okay.
Oh yeah. Anyway, and he would just guess right away, and I'd ask him again, what game am I thinking of again, and then he would just guess right.
Yeah.
Yeah, consciousness is really because do you know that the fact that you know when your father was reading that thing from Crimson Circle about music and art. Healing the world.
Yeah.
All the non-cognitive aspects of life, non-cognitive meaning not the left side of the brain, but the right side, which is the right side is basically the feminine aspect. All of this stuff is inevitably the reason why most aliens have no lips per se or no mouth because they don't speak to communicate. They telepathically communicate, which is so much more efficient than words. So much more efficient.
You know, I actually had a dream where it was just kind of a dream with two parts to it. This other part, everyone was kind of scared because the world went into that point where you can only speak telepathically.
And that became scary to you?
Well, no, not to the other people. I was fine with it.
Oh, I see. Really? Yeah, huh? I guess, you know why people would be afraid of that? Because you can't lie telepathically.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
You can't really lie.
So the liars feel that, oh, my God, you would know my truth. But the truth is, at that point, you couldn't even be in the frequency unless your truth was love. I mean, that's just, in other words, there's people getting kind of put back into the cosmic soup. Because if after this long they've been on the planet and reincarnated hundreds and thousands of lifetimes, if you're not in a space where you can hold the frequency of, you know, the virtues of life, you know, the respect and the kindness and the compassion, they're going back into the cosmic soup. I mean, all of Almeen's work is talking about this. According to Almeen, 51% of the population is going back into the cosmic soup.
Hey, Goldie, you want to
That's
hear?
A big number.
Yeah.
That's a big, big number.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are great. I love it when I say this stuff, nothing scares you. I really, because some of the kids around here, God bless them, it's amazing because you know what they do? They pick up on their parents' fears.
Yeah.
And it becomes theirs because, again, people are telepathic and don't know it, so the kids don't even know it's not their fears, it's their parents. And their parents' fears are financial, but the kids turn it into monsters and stuff. It's really...
Because they can process the financial stuff because they don't really have the knowing of that, you know.
Yeah.
They don't have the knowing that it's fine, except because if they knew it was finances, they could let it go and go, it's not mine, which is what I teach the kids that I work with. It's like, these are your parents' fears. And they're like, mommy's afraid of the dark. And it's like, no, mommy is afraid of other things. You're making it part of the dark because in your world, that's what you would be afraid of.
Yeah, I actually love the dark. The dark is one of my
best friends. Hang on. That's this phone. Hang on.
It runs out of batteries really quick.
All right, no problem. You got
okay.
Because we got 6 minutes. Don't leave me yet, guys. We're having a good talk.
Okay. And you want?
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to hear something? Another. Hang on. Let me switch my other ear.
All
right.
I want to hear all the awesome stories because we're on the air stories. So give me awesome.
Okay.
Wait. I got a couple. These are about outer body experiences in my dreams.
Perfect. Shoot.
The last one is not an outer body experience.
Sorry.
The last one is not an out-of-body experience. It's more or less a feeling of vibes.
Where is this
but,
from?
But I'm just going to... Okay. The,
a feeling of vibe?
We'll get into it later.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, well, a couple of times I've had these dreams where I'm laying down on a... Like a countertop or something. I'm just climbing around doing whatever I'm doing in my dream. And the proof, I'm not even sure what I'm doing in the dream, but the proof that it is an out-of-body experience is
okay.
In the dream, John or someone turns off the lights and everything goes dark, and that's when I'm back into my bed, and I'm trying to feel around. I feel so weird. And even sometimes I call out to John, turn back on the lights, because I'm not even sure what's going on.
Oh, well.
It's really
So wait a minute. In the dream he's turning off the light, or in this world he's turning off the light?
In the I'm already asleep in reality, but in the dream he turns off the light, and that's me waking up because, you know, it's dark.
Oh, interesting. Okay, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, I've had more.
All right, you tell me a story, John. Tell me an awesome story.
Wait. You didn't hear the vibe version, the other one. Weirdly, sometimes when I'm sleeping, this never happens anymore. It happened maybe 2 years ago. I have this feeling that I'm laying on my bed, but the sheets are all really bumpy, and sometimes they cool down and they're all smooth and soft, but then they just ruffle up again. It feels like waves or vibes of the universe, like different things happening, different things for the side of good per se, I think different things for the side of bad per se. It's not exactly. And nothing's good or bad, but still, you know, like a negative.
Right. It's how you're experiencing them. Okay.
It's really weird. Okay, go, John. Time crunch.
Yep. Anyway, so there's, this is another telepathic thing. See, you know what Dad was talking about that cool thing with the free toys?
Yes.
Yeah, well, anyway, see, we were wondering what to bring for food stuff, and I said barbecue chips, and then Dad said, I was just about to say that, you know? it was so cool. Cause
well, now tell me about the group hugs, too. John, you tell me about the group hugs.
Okay, well.
I know your father came in, but tell me how they work and what they mean to you.
Well they just kind of mean love, you know?
Yeah,
I remember when I was sick, group hugs always helped me the most, hugging, because it was the love healing, you know?
It was like a warm,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I would hug even more, like, hug me again, I don't feel good, something like that.
Yeah, isn't hugging amazing?
Oh, yeah.
I personally love hugs. I love them.
I mean, it's good for you, and, you know, it really helps, and, you know, I'm not afraid to hug anyone, you know?
Have you ever hugged somebody or had them hug you and it's as stiff as a board. They're as stiff as a board.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like hugging a sheet of metal. I'm like, you know, and I'll be honest with you. People have told me, they're like, you're a great hugger. And I'm like, because I actually energetically as well as physically go, let's become one. Isn't that what the hug is?
To blend
as one?
Wait. Speaking of stiff people, there's this one guy, we were doing a thing in the courthouse. It was recently. It's not important. It'll take way too long to get into.
I was going to say, we only got 2 minutes, so.
Yeah, there was this one cop. He looked so uptight. When he walked, he waddled.
Yeah.
It was so really weird. I felt pretty sorry for him.
Hey, do either one of you guys see auras or energy fields around people?
Dad feels them very well, and I would say I'm pretty good at it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Feel them.
And, you know, Goldie, speaking about the hugging thing. We hug, I hug Dad all the time and stuff, you know, in the morning and at night or anything, good night hug, something like that. But
usually in town they're sparked by something that happens nice or something that needs a hug or something like that.
Yeah. But
I love it.
Yeah, but Mike has a girlfriend, and see, when I hugged her, I just kind of felt a little bit, you know, kind of bad because maybe it's, you know, past life experiences or something, you know, her aura and stuff. And, you know, I just think of how many products and makeup and stuff that, you know, women put on and stuff,
and
you know.
And waste and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just kind of felt.
And they what? And they waste?
Well, it's just kind of wasteful for some of these things, and not just to anything else, but to their body, too. Sometimes it's not the best.
Yeah, well, it's a mask. I mean, makeup is a beautiful thing, but, I mean, there are many women that literally hide behind their makeup. You know, in other words, if you can't go out of the house without makeup on, it's a mask. Just so you guys know, there's 60 seconds left, and then we're going to go. We're going to end up being cut off.
You want to, like, do an outro or something?
Pardon?
You want to, like, wrap it up or something?
Yeah, actually, we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, but first, you know, I literally felt like I was hugging a brick wall. He just felt kind of dancing, you know.
We all need to. You know how you guys sent me love today, or healing golden energy, or whatever healing energy.
Yes.
send that beautiful being some love.
Cool.
Yeah, sure.
Because
yeah,
she doesn't even know that she's love, and that's why it's so cold.
Yeah, I even did say to her that I'm not afraid to hug and stuff, but, you know, I still focused on the good sides of it, but I'm just telling you what the bad sides I felt.
No, indeed. You're so beautiful, John.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
John and Josh, all right, we're going to be off in 10 seconds. I love you guys. I'm so grateful you're in my life.
I love you, too. I mean, just it's happy life.
Good night,
life.
Internet.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Next week is my birthday show. Check it out. I love you guys. You guys touch me deeply. Thank you for being here tonight.
Yep, happy birthday.
Okay. No, come back next week and tell me that.
Okay.
I'll talk to you guys soon. I love you, Blog Talk Radio. Everybody have an amazing week.
Okay.
Bye.
Let's do it.
I was wondering something. Since you're probably...
No, say bye, Josh. You got to say goodbye. I got to hang up.
Okay, say goodbye. Wait, are you off the air right now?
Yeah, no, I got to hang up, otherwise it's going to keep streaming.
Oh, is it?
Mm. Yeah, so we'll talk, but not on the air.
Right.
Because they don't, Blog Talk Radio don't like when we go over, so.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Oh, yeah.